The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 192 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if you start 18 years early. Along those lines, we have a future-looking episode planned for today. And like all episodes of the Pennsylvania Project, it's divided into three parts. You, them, and me. Part one is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. However, today I'm going to be omitting the you part of the show in order to spend more time with our guest. And we will do the you segment next episode for sure, so keep those cards and letters coming. After the you part comes part two, the them part, where each episode we host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Today's guest is pretty much all political. He is Sam Waltmeyer, U.S. presidential candidate in 2036. Yep, 2036. After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk, where I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw. Today, I was planning on ranting about cruises, time willing, but given our guest, I'm thinking there won't be time, if not this one, next episode. And throughout the show, as is our long ancient custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to join in the conversation with our guest. It's a role that we call cohort, and today's cohort is making his sixth appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He is Mark Tirisi, I'll get it right, now the past president of Toastmasters in Unity Club in Mount Laurel, Police State of New Jersey. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project, Mark.
Thank you, Ken. Sixth time.
I know.
That's great. It's been a lot of fun every time, and thanks for having me back.
Yeah, that's why we do it. If it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. I've run my whole life that way. If I ever got a job I didn't like, you know, within a month or two, I'd be someplace else.
Wow, that's great.
I always say writing a resume is a labor of hate. I hate my job. This is the first one in a while where you've had an actual guest.
That's correct.
Because when you were on, when was it, episode 104, I guess it was, the guest canceled on us and you actually filled in. You became our guest.
That's correct.
And we talked about martial arts.
Yes.
That was almost 2 years ago.
Yes. And since then, I've gone back in and actually joined the club. And short of a back injury, which put me out for a little bit, making my way back in.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad you're in the club.
Yes.
Well, you know, we can go on all day about that. And I think we also did that back in episode 190. We wound up talking too much. So let's get to our guest because he is an interesting one and an unusual one. That said, welcome to the them portion of episode 192 of the Pennsylvania Project. As I mentioned, that's where we host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Today's guest is certainly political. He's Sam Waltmeyer, elected auditor of Windsor Township in York County. He's also a graduate of the York County School of Technology, where he served as class president. I also watched his graduation speech. But most notably, he has already begun his campaign for U.S. president, even though he's only 22 at the moment, and the constitutional requirement is 35. In the meantime, though, he's still got years to go, so he's conducting children's programs at a local community library. He's also a piano musician, and he is actually touring locally. It's pretty hard to carry that big, heavy piano, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, I should provide some of the backstory for Sam's visit today, because I met Sam the first time exactly 4 years ago today. Go figure. I was on the gubernatorial campaign trail when he was only 18. He had contacted the campaign looking for an autograph of all things, make me feel like a celebrity or something. Well, I was passing through his neighborhood on a campaign tour, so I stopped by his house for a visit. Sam and I talked politics for a long time, and I poisoned his polity with all sorts of nonsense. Things like, your life, your way, provided you respect the rights and property of others. Nonsense like a copy of the Pennsylvania Constitution. And nonsense like, how to run for office, which apparently he's done because now he's the elected auditor and successful at that. And personally, I found his political journey inspirational, so I thought I'd have to have him on the show. And what really reminded me is I have, and I'm wearing it, a wristlet that says sam2036.com. Sam, welcome to the Pennsylvania Project.
Ken, thanks so much for having me on. I have buttons now. I have to get you a button the next time I see you. As a matter of fact, I have your button for governor from 2018 here with me.
Uh-huh. Excellent. It's not the pot leaf button, is it?
No, it's not.
they were mostly in 2022. Excuse me, not 2022. 2002. There's an extra two in there. So where do we begin? I mean, there is so much that we can discuss. And I guess I want to start with the obvious. Sam2036.com, reading it right here off of my wrist. What's that all about?
Well, of course, the year comes from the first year that I'd be constitutionally eligible to run, which is 2036. It started back in the 2016 campaign, and I was really tired of the candidates that were running. I felt like they really didn't quite represent what people wanted.
Too true.
And I thought, why not have somebody that is there for the people? So I had three words: integrity, justice, honesty. And those were the three words that I started my campaign with. It's more than just politics. More than a party, it's a movement and a hope for the future that I think our nation really needs right now.
Wow.
And for 2036.
Uh-huh. And that's pretty good. Integrity, justice, honesty.
Honesty.
Especially integrity. Not a lot of
that's
that right. Politicians these days.
Hey, Sam, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
This is Mark. If I did my math correctly, and I was just scribbling down, so if you're 22 now and you started thinking about running for president in 2016, that was 6 years ago. So doing the math, that means you were 16 at the time. Is that correct?
That's right. Yes. I was a freshman in high school.
Okay. So I'm thinking at age 16, some kids have in their minds broad terms. I want to be an accountant. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a fireman. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I don't remember too many people. There might have been a couple in high school that were talking about becoming president of the United States. What really prompted you to think far ahead like that at such a young age?
That's a good question. A lot of it was just seeing the frustration that a lot of people had. My parents have always been open with talking to me about politics and not just who they're voting for, but why. And I think seeing that kind of sparked an interest in me to be the candidate for the people. Just because the party lines are what people want to hear, it's not necessarily what's best for them or what even for a more local office, what the people would need in that community. So for me, it's trying to figure out what the people need, what the people want, and trying to go from there while still maintaining those values that I originally started my campaign with that obviously we don't have a lot of in politics right now.
Thank you. If I can just throw one more in there. Mm-hmm. I know of a few people in South Jersey who are relatively young fellows who have kind of made their way up the ranks, you know, maybe going to town council and then working their way up to possibly mayor and then going up from there. But you're the auditor now. Did you take a similar path, or is the auditor the first elected role that you had had since your desire to become president one day?
The auditor is actually the first elected role that I had. I attended college at Anderson University in Anderson, Indiana for a semester. And while I was there, one of the things that Ken had told me during his visit in his 2018 campaign came to mind. And one of the things that I distinctly remember him saying was he told me that if there's ever a write-in box on a ballot, nothing else, he said, write your own name in. You don't know what might happen. And I thought, goodness. I'm like, I don't know what an auditor does. We're going to try this. And so I got on social media I was 18 at the time, as every 18-year-old does. And I said, hey, write me in for this office. Nobody is running. And I won that position with seven write-in votes.
How many votes? How many votes?
At that, I'm sorry?
How many votes did you get?
Seven write-in votes.
Wow.
And the best part of this, too, was I was too late to turn in my own absentee ballot. I was putting it off.
So you didn't vote for yourself?
I didn't even vote for myself, and I still got the office. And it's one of those things that, if I hadn't met Ken, I probably wouldn't have even thought about it. It would have been one of those and maybe I'm too optimistic. You know, it's one of those things where nobody's running. Whoever gets it will get it, or they'll find somebody for it. And I think one of the things that young people, old people, anybody, to get a fire in them to go after what their dreams are and what their hopes are, because sometimes it is just as easy as asking for things or looking for opportunities that are there, whether it's people running for lower offices and working their way up or taking opportunities as they come. I think so many people just don't take those sorts of opportunities.
Wow.
So at this point in life, I'm kind of just looking for opportunities and finding things that are worthwhile and going along with that path.
Good for you.
Well, I'm proud and honored, and I should apologize for getting you set on the political path here. You're on your way. Now, I have to ask, you don't have to answer. You could say, I don't think I should answer that. Fifth Amendment, whatever. What political party are you representing? Because we talked a lot about libertarianism when I was there.
Yes, and we actually talked about this on the phone leading up to this interview today. And I think what I told you was I'm registered to a party just so that I can vote in the Pennsylvania primaries. At this point, Pennsylvania is a closed primary state. So if I want to vote in a primary, which sometimes I do, you have to register to a political party. So yep. I'm not going to share what political party I'm registered to, but okay. I swing vote. I vote for whoever, because it goes back to those three words, integrity, justice, honesty.
There you go.
It's not even the hot button topics for me all the time. A lot of times it's who's going to best represent myself and my area in government.
Uh-huh. That's the way you want it to be, too.
It's
called strategic voting. I know a lot of people who do that. They swing back and forth in the primary and then change their registration to what it should be after the primary.
Well, even after the primary, I wouldn't pick just one party. I always look at the candidates before I vote.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's something that a lot more people should be looking at when they go in to vote.
Right. One thing to warn you about, if you are on the primary ballot, then you cannot run in the fall if you lose. It's called the sore loser law. So you should really pick one and go with that. But, mm-hmm. of course, me personally, speaking as a libertarian as well, I'm opposed to primaries. I mean, why are we taxpayers paying for the beauty contest of the two old parties? Why can't they pay for their own? I mean, we libertarians, we pay for our own candidate, right? We go to mm-hmm. a convention, we buy a hotel room, the whole nine yards. But no, the two old parties, they spend taxpayer money to open up polling places in the spring. Why should we do that? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. It is quite frustrating. And I think one of the things, too, when it comes to elections and especially primaries, too, is the lack of media coverage for our third-party candidates. There are definitely legitimate and active third-party candidates that deserve representation in the media. Between the media and polling and debates, there's not a whole lot of involvement other than, as you referred to them, the two old parties.
Uh-huh.
Not saying that there can't be great candidates from those parties, but I think everyone should be included in that.
I agree. And that's one thing. You know, you mentioned how the media often ignores third parties. Well, the League of Women Voters has always been very, very good to us. Every time I've run for governor, they've sponsored a debate. They've invited me there. Pennsylvania Cable Network is another one. They go out to 3.5 million homes in Pennsylvania. They're like C-SPAN. They're very good to the Libertarian Party. In fact, I am on this week. We recorded something on Monday, and they've been airing it all week long. That's pretty cool.
Oh, great.
And just look here in Philadelphia. We complain the media ignores us. Well, here, I'm on the radio. Now we Libertarians are the media. That's cool and a half. Now, another thing. I was looking at some of your YouTube stuff, and you did the final speech of your school, commencement speech.
Yes, graduation speech. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, something else that I know I must have mentioned when I was there was Toastmasters.
Yes.
And you did not join Toastmasters, I can tell.
I have not, no.
Yeah, you know, because what Toastmasters would have done is polished that speech that you gave. It was good, and I love the impromptu, you know, and vote for Sam at the end. But that's what Toastmasters does. It allows you to polish your approach and everything. Even silly little things like when you turn pages, you don't flip the page over, you slide it sideways because that way the audience doesn't see it. All kinds of little tricks that make you look really, really good. So, Sam, let me put another bug in your ear. Go to Toastmasters.org and get yourself a Toastmaster.
All right.
Club.
I hear you.
Hey, I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk, and you're listening to episode 192 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, we're going to be hearing more from Sam Waltemeyer, the auditor of Windsor Township and candidate for United States President in 2036.
Here's an interesting question. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. We here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions, so we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our government, how our state government works, head over to our website, PennsylvaniaProject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader, communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me, I joined Toastmasters and now I've got my own radio show. Yeah, yeah. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention that you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org. Following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
Could be better.
Why? What's the matter?
I just found a great job. But I can't take it.
Why not?
They want me to go as a 1099 contractor.
So?
So what about all the taxes? Federal taxes, state taxes, this tax, that tax. I've got better things to do than figuring out all the tax laws and filling out all those silly forms. I'm a libertarian, remember?
Then what you need is Amendment 16.
Hey, it's that damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No, no. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them. And when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy.
And they take care of all the taxes? All the forms?
Yep. One call does it all. And they can pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Sounds perfect. Where do I find these guys?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, S-I-X-T-E-E-N.com. One call does it all.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and we are back with episode 192 of the Pennsylvania Project. And rather than me going into my rant about cruises, I want to hear more from Sam Waltemeyer, the auditor of Windsor Township in York County and candidate for the United States presidency in 2036. Sam, I got to ask, is this your first media appearance in your campaign?
On the radio, yes. I was written up in the newspaper. The York Daily Record did an article on me. Oh, goodness. I guess that's probably close to 4 or 5 years ago now. It was right at the start of my presidential campaign before I even had the bracelets.
Do you know, the York Daily Record's been very good to libertarians as well. I'm telling you, there's a whole slew of people there, and I'm trying to think of the lady's name, Susan Murphy or something like that. I don't recall. She would call me out of the blue saying, Ken, news just broke. There's a shooting. What's your statement? And she'd print it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I like the YDR people.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, we talked a lot about libertarianism. And did any of that stick? You know, because
that's a good question. And really, with my stance on politics, too, I consider myself to be a moderate, which it means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. I'm too conservative to be a liberal, and I'm too liberal to be a conservative, which in some ways I think that does match a little bit of libertarian philosophy in some regards.
It does. Have you ever taken the world's smallest political quiz?
I probably did in high school. It's been a couple of years.
Uh-huh. I would recommend you take it again because, generally speaking, it grids people on personal freedoms and economic freedoms. And Democrats agree with personal freedoms but not economic freedoms. And Republicans agree with economic freedoms but not personal freedoms. If you believe in economic and personal freedoms, Sam, I hate to break it to you, you're a libertarian. I don't know.
I think out of anything from the conversation that we had and my introduction into third parties just between you and high school and experiences outside of that, I think it was just eye-opening knowing that it's not all so black and white, or I guess in this case, red and blue.
There are other gold.
But gold would be your not the red and blue. You know, it's not just a two-sided issue.
Okay.
There are other aspects to it, and there are other ways to approach things. And regardless of whether it's part of my campaign platform or not, I think, and part of the way that I conduct life is, and I've learned this working with children for a number of years, you know, if one thing doesn't work, you try another thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes the libertarians are a little more open to change or open to new ideas than some of the old parties are. I think for politics overall, whether we stick with old parties or whether we bring new parties into the picture, I think something needs to shift, especially with coming up new generations who have much different needs than some of our previous generations have.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do something here. Since you're going to be going for office, one thing that you got to practice is answering questions. And I found that people tend to cut you off. You know, you only got a couple seconds. So what I want to do is I just want to throw out a couple of issues there, and I want to hear you say support or oppose, and then one short sentence, if you want to go into it. You game?
Ooh. We can give it a try.
Okay, let's start off. Drug war.
What specifically?
Well,
just in general?
In favor or opposed, and why?
Ooh.
Opposed.
I'm going to take a pass on that one.
Okay. I'm opposed to it because who cares what I do in the privacy of my home? Okay. Here we go. Homeschooling.
In general, support. I think there – oh, this is my one sentence. there are benefits to both public school and homeschooling between curriculum and family dynamics. Uh-huh.
And I don't call it public schools. I call it government schools because that's what they are. All right, what about the shutdowns?
Government shutdowns as opposed to regards to budget?
No, shutdown as what they did to Pennsylvania during the pandemic, the scamdemic.
That's more than just an open or shut issue.
Well, you in favor of it or against it?
I'd have more than just a one-sentence answer for that one, I'm afraid.
All right, we'll go on to the next one. How about guns? In favor of gun rights, opposed to gun rights?
In favor of gun rights, okay. Within reason. I think there does need to be some limitations to it for public safety, but I am in favor of Second Amendment rights.
Okay. How about drinking age? You in favor of a drinking age or opposed to drinking age?
Where it's at now?
Oh, yeah, it's 21 now.
Support.
No, I oppose the drinking age. I think anybody who can hold their alcohol is certainly entitled to do it. All right. How about a universal basic income?
I don't know enough about that to talk about that.
Okay. How about legibit rights, LGBT rights?
Support.
Yep. Don't we all? How about what? We'll hit the good one here. Oh, abortion.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
This is Pennsylvania. You've got to have an opinion on abortion.
I'd prefer not to discuss that over the radio at this time. That's a good question, though.
Okay. Now, let me clue you in as somebody who's run for high public office several times. The last thing you want to do is say, I'll get back to you on that. Now, you should know. That's why I like being a libertarian, because I can always say, well, I'm a libertarian. That means you have the right to live your life your way, provided you respect the rights and property of others. So if you ask me about drug war or drinking age or the death penalty or anything like that, I have an instant principle to go back to. All right. Well, there you go. I gave you your first round of lightning round questions. And, you know, and I'm looking at the clock. We're almost out of time, Sam. I told you, it goes by really, really fast. It's a lot of fun.
It does.
But what I always like to do is open up the mic to my guests to allow them to talk about anything they want for 30 seconds, maybe a minute. I've had one guy recite Cicero. I had another guy talk about his favorite Western author, somebody about the evils of puppy mills. Sam, there's about 2.5 million people within the sound of the signal here at WWDB. What do they need to know?
You know, and all of the things that I've done here, working for the public library and thinking about running for office, playing piano, which if you're in the South Central Pennsylvania area and you have a church that would be interested in having me come and play piano, you can visit me online at sampiano.com. One of the things that I like to do, of course, is hold myself to high values. And one of the things that I just jotted down this afternoon was the quote, be the change you want to see in the world. And I think if more people were passionate, and if we can show mercy and give grace and listen to others, I think we can really make a difference in the world. And it doesn't take a big difference to make a difference on somebody's life. It could be something as simple as saying, hey, write your name in on a write-in box on a ballot. Or it could be just the chance to be passionate and show mercy that could be the example for somebody else and really make a ripple effect to make the world a better place. Maybe I'm too naive. Maybe I'm too optimistic. But I think the world needs more optimism and more optimistic people.
Well said, sir. I like that. That's pretty good. All right. Sampiano.com and sam2036.com.
That's right.
And Sam, do me a favor and extend my hello to your mom and dad and thank them for inviting me into your house 4 years ago. Look where it got you.
I will do that. Thank you so much for having me on today.
You're welcome. And with that, that's going to have to wrap it up for the then portion of episode 192 of the Pennsylvania Project. My thanks once again to our guest, Sam Waltemeyer, auditor of Windsor Township and candidate for U.S. president in 2036. What do you think about Sam or his plans to run for president in 2036? Or teaching Pennsylvania Constitution to our kids? Or anything somewhat Pennsylvania-related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 2 p.m., among other times. Our webmaster is Stephen Worley. Featured Toastmaster cohort is Mark Cherisi. I'll get it right. Official bartender, Tom Kehoe. Keyboard wizard in the background there, Joe the Pag. Radio producer Wes Wagner, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if it takes you until 2036 to do it.